8 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, and time for Uncensored with Penny Faree.
Yes, good afternoon, Dave, and good afternoon to all our listeners. Today we're going to touch on a contentious issue. We're going to be looking at the quality of our air in our region and what the pollution levels are like. But before we look into that, the conflict between Kwadukuza Council members and the municipal manager seems to be escalating. Yesterday's scheduled full council meeting failed to take place because all 30-odd ANC councillors made a powerful political statement by not attending. And obviously, this is very bad news for service delivery in our region. I approached Action SA's Ilembe Rob, and I want his thoughts on this issue. You know, how this is going to be impacting our municipality. And here's what he had to say. Take a listen.
Yes, firstly, I'd like to confirm that, yeah, the entire ANC caucus did not attend the special council meeting yesterday. And this has happened twice now in a few weeks, and it's totally unacceptable. And yesterday, we had some pressing matters on the council agenda to pronounce on. We needed to approve the risk management policies, which is an important part of protection of the organization. We had to also approve risk registers. We had to go through the MPAC plan for the year. We had to review the MPAC terms of reference. And also, the municipal manager wants to go on leave from the 28th of this month. And we were supposed to appoint the COO, the Chief Operations Officer, to act in the place of the municipal manager. So all these pertinent, pressing decisions that have direct bearing and relevance on service delivery were not pronounced on. And the ANC boycotting council is truly, truly affecting service delivery in our region. No doubt about that. We heard via the grapevine that they stood out and boycotted council this time, and like the last time, I think it was on the 21st of May, because of the CFO matter, that they wanted options from the municipal manager to basically revoke the suspension against the CFO. So I think that's the reason behind this. But just on that matter, to also mention, because it was brought to our attention yesterday, that even as Kwadukuza Municipality tried to block the CFO, his arbitration at the South African Local Government Bargaining Council, I want to say that we waited for the 14-day ruling, and a ruling has been pronounced that the case that Kwadukuza Municipality tried to block the CFO's arbitration has been dismissed totally. And that's good news. It's working in favor of the CFO. And so the arbitration will continue as planned. So that's some good news. Thank you.
Sounds like very good news.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It reached boiling point last month, if you can remember. There was a crucial council meeting scheduled for May the 22nd. And it was just 1 week before the general elections. And they were set to adapt the new budget for the 24-25 municipal year, which starts 1st of July. And they threatened to boycott that meeting. They said, if you don't obviously hear us and listen to our demands, this is not going to go ahead. And when I approached Docker and I said, what are the repercussions of something like that? He says it was huge. It was monumental. I mean, it could possibly lead to the collapse of the municipality. And then obviously behind closed doors, the councillors were assured that there was going to be a motion passed in June to reinstate the CFO. So consequently, the council meeting regarding the budget took place. The budget was adopted, thankfully, and a potential crisis was averted. Now, we even discussed it, if it was a delayed tactic or a political move by the municipal manager, and especially considering the high stakes, you know, for the ANC pending the elections. So now fast forward to June, elections are over, dust is settled, no motion has been set as promised. So the ANC councillors are staying away. And the ANC's regional leadership have also thrown their weight behind the CFO's reinstatement. And if you can remember, I mean, this was so controversial. He said the suspension was motivated by a coordinated effort by certain municipal officials to render the municipality dysfunctional. Now, that statement was from the ANC regional secretary, Sfe Zulu. And yeah, it's just this corruption and irregularities that have marred the council's vote to suspend the CFO. They, you know, he's taken them to the bargaining council, and the KDM's legal team, Zuma and Partners, they've delayed the matter. it's almost gotten to a point where they're making a travesty of the law. So the third time, to the detriment of the ratepayers' money, because we're footing the legal bill, which now stands to over 3 million rand. And at the bargaining council, he's now challenging the matter, saying that the process of him suspension was, which involved a matter dating 2018. And for those just coming in, that involved bank charges of 37,000 rand, which was incurred when Kodukuza changed bankers. So from one bank account to the other, they kept the one open because people were still using it, and that incurred 37,000 rand fees, and he was suspended on that matter. So the commissioner from the bargaining council stated that the matter must proceed and the dates are yet to be finalized. I mean, KADM's legal team said, it was so nonsensical. He said that they don't have the jurisdiction. The bargaining council doesn't have the jurisdiction to actually make a ruling over a matter that's brought to them. So just a delay tactic, and it's been going on like that since last year.
But it would appear that there are moves afoot, and significant ones, to bring this matter to a head and to an end, of which you'll report on in due course. And ultimately, there will be a solution to this problem, and hopefully some recompense from those rogues that have incurred the 3 million rand of fruitless and wasteful expenditure pursuing a fool's errand. And hopefully there will be some sort of justice served. But what do they say in the Zuma delay of trial, with the whole Stalingrad thing?
Yes, it is.
That justice delayed is justice
served.
Oh, man.
You know what? It's at the behest of the we bankrolling the legal fees. So it's if they were actually paying for it, it would be a different story. This matter would have been concluded within like 6 weeks.
Huh? There we go. So, let us take a little breather, and Penny will be back on the other side of this.
The outdoor life is for everyone, and our clothes are too. It's made to last in the sun, wind, and weather. Whether you're fishing, hiking, camping, or going to work, get all your favorite brands like First Ascent, Cape Storm, African Nature, High Tech, and Columbia all under one roof. Outdoor Warehouse, for every adventure. Also shop online.
Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito offers exceptional customer service for all your vehicle needs. Located in the heart of the community, they're easily accessible, making it convenient for you to find your perfect Toyota. Their highly trained service division and parts center is committed to providing expert technical advice and sourcing parts nationwide, ensuring your complete satisfaction. Our people deliver. It's not just a slogan, it's their promise to deliver a superior experience. Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito, where exceptional service meets all your motoring needs.
Adventure awaits at CMH Mahindra Bolito. Introducing the Mahindra Scorpio N, the rugged SUV that's conquering the road and the awards. Recently crowned Adventure SUV of the Year and Motor Enthusiast Car of the Year for 2024. Get behind the wheel of this 7-seater powerhouse. Now available at CMH Mahindra Bolito for just 477,199 rand. Visit the dealership at 35 to 37 Moffat Drive and embrace the extraordinary with CMH Mahindra Bolito. T's and C's apply.
And we're back with our weekly news and actuality program of the local nature, Uncensored with Penny Faree.
So this is an interesting story. We are currently in the dark regarding the quality of our air in our region, Bolito, Kodukuza. And because air pollution levels in our region, which by law should be measured and monitored by a district municipality, they've basically been left unchecked for almost a decade. So as the saying goes, you cannot manage what you cannot measure. I'm just going to give you a little bit of background. 6 years ago, in 2018, the KZN Department of Environmental Affairs, they installed an air quality monitoring station in Bolito at the Enterprise Ulembe offices. Now, this was welcomed by residents in Bolito who've been complaining for years about the quality. And the air monitoring station, which joined similar installations in Kodukuza and Medini, was supposed to tell us how much pollution is in the air we breathe. Now, the department said it would also determine whether air pollutants spiked to unacceptable levels during the sugarcane burning season, which is also a very contentious topic. So now fast forward to 2020, And despite many months of trying to get readings from the Lembe District Air Quality Management Unit, which are responsible for the monitoring of the air quality, I even filed a request under the promotion of access to information, demanding data from this air monitor. Nothing happened. And finally, after months and months, I was eventually told no data was available because the new Belito air monitor had never been calibrated and was basically dysfunctional. So the other two monitors in Kwadukuza and Madini had also produced no data due to lack of capacity and funds to manage and maintain the monitoring stations. So without data, it's as if the problem does not exist, right? So by law, the municipalities are required to establish and implement air quality management plans and include them in the integrated development plan. So we are currently living without the protection of adequate air quality standards. And without monitoring, we can't ensure compliance or enforcement. So how's the quality of our air on the North Coast? So I have used data from the Communities Against Pollution website, and it's called CAP for short. They're a civic organization which was started by a local resident, Paolo Del Fabro. He can finally give us a picture of the state of our air. Now, he's been tirelessly working to raise funds to install air monitors, which measure PM2.5 levels. Now, do you know, when I got those readings, I was like all rah-rah about it. I said, give me data and I'm going to go after the culprits and let me name and shame them. And Paolo's an attorney by profession, and he obviously knows the processes that need to be followed and what must be done. So basically, in a very polite way, he told me to calm the F down. He's very clearly stated that they need 3 years of data to show pollution trends for our district, but we can still see the picture of what's going on. So to understand air quality, I know this is going to be a thing, just explain how it's measured. So just bear with me. Obviously, we measure it with PM2.5. The stations used PM2.5. It's quite a universal measurement, and it stands for particle matter, which is a mixture of solid and liquid particles. And it's measured in microns. So PM2.5 particles, they're 50 times smaller than human hair. So basically, you can't see it under the naked eye. So where does it come from? It can originate from multiple sources, indoors and outdoors. Indoors, PM2.5 can come from cooking, burning cigarettes, viruses, paint fumes, heavy metals. Outdoors, it comes from transport, like buses, power plants, general factory, industry, sugarcane burning.
Generators.
And let me tell you the effect on our health. Now, according to the World Health Organization, hundreds of science-based articles, PM2.5 is dangerous because it passes through our nose hairs, into our throats, lungs, and finally into our bloodstream, causing various health issues. And it's known as the silent killer. And according to the World Health Organization, short-term effects of PM2.5 exposure include headache, sore throat, high blood pressure, fatigue, wheezy chest tightness. Long-term, the effects are more severe. They include heart disease, worsened asthma, reduced lung function, chronic bronchitis, lung cancer, heart disease. Children, the elderly, and people with existing health problems are particularly at risk. So regarding legislation and measurement, now this is so important. You have to understand this. In South Africa, the legislated PM2.5 standards state that 24-hour average exposure should not exceed 40 microns for more than 4 days per year. So we've got 40. Our standards are way lower than the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization says that the PM2.5 level should not exceed 15 microns for more than 3 to 4 days per year.
15.
Yeah, so we've got 15 with the World Health. South Africa's a little bit, we've got pollution. Let's put it to 40 and it can't exceed 4 days per year. So Paolo was galvanized into starting CAPS because he attended a public meeting, which I was there as well, and heard about the lack of government monitoring in our district. So he decided if the government isn't stepping up, civil society needed to own the problem. And he created his own network of monitors. He self-funded, sought donations, and then started putting them on the ground. So their data can be seen live on their website, which is cap/mzansi.com. And he's called it a citizen science program. And it publicly displays air quality levels since March 2023. And he wants to continue till February 2026. So it'll give him 3 years to look at trends. So now we need more monitors on the ground to track alleged sources of pollution. And together with the data, you can actually pinpoint accurately where the pollutant's coming from. And this, he said, is when you start holding polluters and respective authorities accountable. So they've got 16 active monitors, 7 in KZN, 1 in Cape Town, 6 in Gauteng, and 2 in Mauritius, which is one of the only 7 countries that meet World Health Organization standards, by the way. So in collaboration with businesses and organizations, they want to place an additional 8 monitors of our region and KZN over the next few months. So now back to the quality. I checked the CAPS website for the reports, and I'm going to start with May, so which by even South African standards was not a good air month. So our area had 6 days exceeding South Africa's legislated PM2.5 standards, which I reiterate, South African standard states that for 24-hour average exposure, it must not exceed 40 microns for more than 4 days per year. We had 6 days in the month of May. 6 days. So in the month of May, we only had 4 good air days. 18 moderate, 8 really bad days, and a dangerous day, which basically means just stay indoors and flip, just try not to breathe. That's how bad that one day was. So
what was the cause of that one
we
day?
We don't know. So we actually, not we, CAPS says he can see, you know, that we have an issue. The what is a problem, the who is the issue, you know, and that's where we need more monitors on the ground to start isolating it. So now, according to the World Health Standards, the PM level should not exceed 15 for more than 3 to 4 days per year. So if we actually went by the WHO standards, we would have had 25 days of exceedance levels in the month of May. So according to the World Health, we were 25 dangerous days in the month of May. So let's look at April, which according to South African standards, we had 2 days of exceedance. And according to the World Health standards, 8 days. So March recorded no exceedance. In February, the fire at the scrap metal premises at Sharker's Head, it resulted in crazy readings. And CAP said they received a record number of complaints. It was a metal smell, and a lot of people woke up in the middle of the night with a burning nose and, you know, sore chest. So that can be attributed to the fire at Sharker's Head at the scrap metal yard. And you actually see there's a lot of burning going on in the night. You know, a lot of people asleep and you can't see it. But when you log onto the website...
How does scrap metal burn?
I don't know.
Is it not the cables being burnt? In other words, getting rid of the plastic or the coverings of over the cables that are to sell bright metal to scrap metal merchants. They won't buy a cable. They're not supposed to. That are still encased in their hard protective plastic covering.
So that would all the rubber. I mean, isn't there rubber encasing the?
There's lots of stuff encasing the metal. Well, that's got to come off, and it's got to be burnt off. Yeah. Well, that's how.
But
it's
obviously,
done.
The sources right now is, you know, we.
But that's a criminal activity. So surely one simply reports it to our extremely efficient SAPS and they zap along there quickly and arrest the culprits. Isn't that what happens?
No.
Surely no. You must be.
No, Dave, you're missing the point. So our air levels in the area, they're over the legal thresholds, and we've got a national ambient air quality standards. We've got laws. Those standards are set to protect health. So when you exceed these thresholds, this indicates a health risk. And those authorities whose job is to ensure compliance with the established standards, they are there to be holding, industry accountable, whoever is actually violating the laws. But we don't have anyone on the ground. There is no accountability in our region at all. So right now, everyone is just taking care of the problem themselves. They're just burning ad nauseam.
So our municipality is happy to spend 3 million rand on legal fees defending an action that is completely nonsensical.
And you know that money
would... And yet they won't have active air monitors to protect the health of the goose that lays the golden egg.
Absolutely.
You and I, the ratepayer. Yeah.
And we breathe... You know what? It's a fight we have to get behind. As clean air is our constitutional right, as prescribed in the Constitution. So what we need to do, you know... You can't fight data. And that's what Paolo kept saying to me. He says, get the data, because once you have the data, once you see that there's a clear problem, then you start getting the authorities involved and you demand accountability.
But we've still got to wait 2 more years.
No. We're starting to work hard, you know, on the ground, and hopefully work with authorities to start, you know, pinpointing who the culprits are and what they are doing. So... It's started. It's galvanized. There's a tension there. There's a lot of projects in the works. But you know what? what this just tells you that we have a serious problem in our area. You know, the air is an issue. It's affecting all our, you know, our health in a huge way. And we basically need to join the fight in making sure that we have clean air in our region for the, you know, for our children and basically our environment.
And there it is, Penny Faree, uncensored on 88 FM every Wednesday afternoon, just after the 3 o'clock news. Penny will be back.
Yeah, stay safe, everyone.
On a Wednesday next, the afternoon show continues on the other side of this.